another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And, of course, I am broadcasting live today with just a little touch of Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, I want to take this opportunity to welcome people from all over the world and to declare to you that the entire universe is conspiring to get your good to you. Isn't that great to know? Well, how are you doing? I pray that you are doing well. Are you excited about your life? If not, I want you to stay tuned because today's show, you're going to learn how to really begin to live an exciting, authentic life. Well, I am doing well, and of course, I am still celebrating my birthday. As most of you know from last week, my birthday was November the 7th, and I normally celebrate for 30 days. And, you know, I just want to personally thank all of you for sending me those wonderful emails and those wonderful birthday greetings. It really made me feel special, and it showed me what a wonderful and fantastic global family I have, and I'm so blessed. Well, I am doing well. My beloved angel, my little Shih Tzu puppy, had to have minor eye surgery, and she's wearing, any of you have dogs, the little cone on her head. And boy, am I learning a lot about asking God for help, even in the small things. So it's been very interesting. And can you believe that it is almost Thanksgiving? Oh boy, the holidays are right up on us. And I want to say to you that even before the end of this year, you can manifest your heart's desires with just a little shifting. I want to remind you that beginning next week, once again, I'm going to be continuing my series on living your best life by the Spirit. So next week, I'm going to be talking about how you can begin to live your best life by the Spirit in the area of abundance and prosperity. And we know that prosperity is not just about money, but it certainly includes money. So tell three of your friends, you be sure to stay tuned because this is going to be a life-changing series. And as you listen to it, it will dramatically begin to shift your thinking and begin the process of changing your life. Also, please remember to visit my webpage, fulfillingyourpurposenot.com. I got that out. It is not too late to coach with me. I mean, you've heard the testimonies all year long of how people's lives are changed through coaching. And now is the time for you to invest in yourself. You can take advantage of my MP3s. I have great MP3s, and they're only $1.99. You are worth $1.99. And they're on success, prosperity, and self-love. Well, before I introduce my very special guest, Mr. David Stanley, who is the stepbrother of Elvis Presley, I want to read something to you, especially if you're feeling a little frustrated about your manifestation. All of you know who Ernest Holmes is, and boy, he is just a great author back in the 1900s. And, you know, sometimes you will read a book and then the Spirit will lead you to come back to that same book. And once you reread it again, you're like, man, I don't remember any of this. So for those of you who are just a little bit frustrated about things not manifesting, I want to read this to you. My own shall come to me. From far and near, my own shall come to me. Even now it is coming to me, and I receive it. My own is now manifesting itself to me, and I see and know its presence. My own shall know and respond to me. My own cannot be kept from me, neither can I keep my good away from me. I receive my good now. My own shall find me. No matter where I go, it will follow and claim me. I cannot hide myself from my own. My own shall come to me, even though I deny it, for there is nothing in me that can hinder it from entering and taking possession of my soul. My own is now expressed. And I just wanted to read that to encourage you, as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, that your good is looking for you and the entire universe is conspiring to get your good to you. So I want you to think on that, and I will be right back with my very special guest, Mr. David Stanley, after these great commercials.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at LOARadionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, LOARadionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries. Is the radio station for your well-being.
Hello, this is Constance Arnold. Do you have an upcoming conference or an event where you need a keynote speaker or leadership training? With over 25 years of experience, I am a recognized international leader in the areas of self-motivation and maximizing human potential. I have been the featured keynote speaker and trainer for numerous Fortune 500 companies such as Delta Airlines, Lockheed Martin, and the Russell Simmons Success Tour. I would love to partner with you to develop customized speaking and training that would change and empower your organization in 2011. So visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and take a look at my speakers page to see a detailed listing of my clientele and speaking services. Or you can email me personally at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, welcome back, everybody, and I hope that you really enjoyed those great commercials. And I'm really excited about tonight, because tonight my very special guest is David E. Stanley. And David, ironically enough, is the half-brother of Elvis Presley, and he is the author of a brand new book that's coming out at the end of the year, Conversations with the King, Journals of a Young Apprentice. And really, the book is quite revealing. In the book, David will be sharing extraordinary spiritual lessons and the wisdom that Elvis revealed to him as his confidant and stepbrother. And I'm sure that he has such great insight, and even in his own life personally, David has really walked in a very triumphant place, overcoming adversity and really stepping into his greatness and walking in his purpose and destiny. And I'm so excited to have with me David E. Stanley. David, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Well, it is such a privilege to be here with you. I'm excited about this day. I'm excited about this talk. And I'm just happy everybody's with us, and we're going to have a good time.
Right. You know, David, I really pray about who comes on my show, and I just felt led to have you to come on because I think that people really need to learn about spirituality, about living an authentic life, and just about being the person that God created them to be. And it sounds like that's just what your book does.
Well, you know, I am a believer. I was brought up with a tremendous faith, and I believe that God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And I think as I grew up in my environment, I was privy to a lot of things growing up with Elvis Presley. And I do want to correct you. I'm Elvis's stepbrother, and that happened when my mother, who was divorced when I was very young, my first adversity, was divorced when I was very young, and when she married Vernon Presley, Elvis Presley's father.
Okay.
So Vernon Presley became my stepfather. Elvis became my stepbrother in 1960 when I was just 4 years old. I had no idea what was happening. I was very young. I didn't know what a hound dog was or Graceland was. All of a sudden, my mom and dad go through a divorce. My mom's remarried. I have a new house in Memphis, Tennessee called the Graceland Mansion. And there I spent the next 17 years of my life growing up with Elvis Presley as big brother, father figure, mentor, friend, and even spiritual advisor in many ways.
Well, you know, a lot of people might be saying tonight, Constance, what in the world can Elvis Presley teach me? What can I take today and implement into my life when I might be struggling, when I might have just been downsized? And I'm just going to say to you, trust me and stay tuned, and you're going to learn some great insight and wisdom about how you can begin to live your life really authentically. So, David, let's get started. You know, when we hear the word Elvis, just share with our listeners a little bit about the private side of Elvis.
Well, let me start with the beginning. Like I said, I moved into Graceland when I was just 4 years old, and I first met Elvis Presley. He picked me up, and he gave me a hug, and he welcomed me into his family. And that felt good after coming through a divorce that my mother and father had gone through. Again, I didn't understand what was happening. I couldn't compare it to anything. I just know that Elvis, from the first day that I met him, was very generous, very loving, very caring. And he picked me up and he hugged me, and that hug felt awful good, again, after the experience that I'd gone through at a very early age, just 3 and 4 years old. And then growing up with Elvis, I was brought up pretty conservative from the South, down in Memphis, Tennessee, is where I was living. My mom, her faith was that of Church of Christ, her denomination. So I grew up in church, and Elvis always encouraged me to go. And Elvis had his own fundamental beliefs outside of what I was brought up in. And it was along the way that I was introduced to those things that we discussed later in the book, and we'll get to that in a few moments. But, you know, the things that I learned from Elvis was there's what I share with people now, there's three selves. There's the authentic self, the authentic spiritual self. There's the dark side that we all seem to fall into from time to time in our life, whether willingly or unwillingly. And then there's the public sanctified self, the image that everybody sees. Now, I'm growing up with Elvis Presley. I didn't touch the cloth of the king. I was raised by this guy. I grew up on the back lots of the movie studios, the recording studios. I began touring with Elvis in 1972. I was only 16 when I dropped out of school and began to work for Elvis and travel with him consistently. And yes, I knew the Elvis that many of your listeners to right now can relate to, what we call the sanctified public image, the Elvis the singer, the high collar sideburns, Graceland, the Elvis that loved music, the Elvis that the world adored, and reasonably so. He was a wonderful talent. He had a God-given gift, and he communicated that within the structure of his persona of who he was and what he did as a professional entertainer. But then I saw, as I grew older with Elvis, the dark side, the side that the world didn't see, the guy that had to deal with his fame, the individual that would look out his window and 10,000 people would be looking back at any moment. The guy that everything he touched turned to gold, and he couldn't understand why he couldn't experience failure. And as a result of Elvis's fortune and fame, he was locked into this capsule of no accountability. Everything he touched was perfect. Everything he did was right. And with that kind of lifestyle, that created a situation to where Elvis had a hard time living up to the public image of such a good, wonderful person. And don't misunderstand me, he was all those things. But the dark side of Elvis that couldn't deal with that got involved in what we call prescribed medication.
Right.
One doesn't have to go too far to see the results of that. We just lost Michael Jackson a couple of years ago, and it's all over the news today. It's a carbon copy of exactly what happened to Elvis. And so that's the dark side. So you have the public sanctified image that the listeners in the sound of my voice knew most. We have the dark side that many have learned about, the prescribed medications that cost him his life. Then we have the authentic, spiritual, authentic seeker that Elvis Presley was. And that's the side that I speak from the most, that authenticity, because authenticity is a relationship with God. And I am a non-denominational type. I believe that God moves in many ways, in many forms. I do believe there is one God, and I do believe that Christ is the center of that, of my faith. But I also believe that individuals who seek after and seek God and seek God's will, that's where you find the creativity, because the essence of God is love. The essence of God is creativity, and all great things come from that of God, no matter what your denomination and or religion may be. The dark side, and I know I talk a lot. You've already noticed that, haven't you? You just ask me a simple question, and I just get going, right?
Well, you know, I'm a great listener, and you know Oprah Winfrey was just in the Atlanta area, and she said this to the audience. She said, if I could just leave you with one thing, it would be this. She brought Dr. Phil and Susie Orman and some more for people.
Mm-hmm.
She said, it would be my success stems from every morning just taking 30 minutes being alone with God, praying and meditating, and then from that place going out and doing and being as authentic as you can be on a daily basis.
Well, and see, I think that that's a beautiful illustration of what I communicate within the pages of Conversations with the King. It's the authentic self that embraces God. It is all of us born with an empty void that knows that we have a gift from God and we're trying to get to it. And what I've learned from Elvis is you'll probably be able to tell, I described again the public sanctified image that the world's all been, that dark side. The dark side of an individual, and each and every one of us have this, and some may be saying already, well, David, I don't have a prescribed drug problem. No, but you have fear, uncertainty, isolation, lack of confidence, lack of self-esteem, indecisiveness. All of those things come out of that dark side. Those things that when you live in the outside of the illuminated light magnify as a result of no light to nourish. And a lot of people, they got to understand that Elvis had it all. There's no question that Elvis Presley had it all. The undisputed king of rock and roll, to this day, millions love and adore the public sanctified Elvis. But the lesson learned from Elvis is the results of what happened as a result of not dealing with the darkness of his life. It cost him his life. It cost Michael Jackson his life. It can cost individuals theirs. And it may not be a physical death like it did with Presley and Jackson and so many others. It could be not living in the authentic spirit of greatness and creativity. God is creation. When you step into the illuminated light of God, you live in authenticity. And as a result, you're creative. You're creative. You have the confidence to make that phone call. You have the confidence to walk in that room with high levels of esteem. You have the confidence to walk out of fear and into courage. You have the confidence to do things that can only come from the Creator. We're all born into God. We're all part of God. One of Elvis's favorite books was The Impersonal Life. And in that book, it even quotes the Bible, be still and know that I am God.
Right.
We are born from God. We live on earth. We separate ourselves from God oftentimes here on earth. And then we wonder what's wrong. God's given us every instrument we need to succeed, to aggressively, progressively move forward. He's given us everything we need to eliminate fear, to eliminate problems with esteem, to eliminate rejection and self-sabotage. We just need to embrace that. We come along and learn the system, and we get discouraged instead of encouraged, and all we have to do is go back to the authentic self, which was created from God, which is creation itself. And as we know, and you know, and all know, all good things come from God.
Well, you know, that's so true, David, because I guess 25 years as a psychotherapist, I feel that the niche that God has called me to deal with as a licensed therapist is finding out those unresolved issues, finding out what those limiting beliefs are in your life,
exactly,
identifying
exactly.
those, and then replacing them with a new belief and faith.
Well, and what you're saying is, it's amazing. We're saying the exact same thing. Eliminating the limit, find out what they are. And what I add to that, and I'm sure you have experiences, most of those things come from a dark side, a lack of self-esteem, a lack of courage. It comes from indecisiveness, a sense of non-deserving. Something might have happened in that individual's life, I don't deserve it. Maybe they felt like they've done so much in their lives that was in that dark side. Well, how could I ever achieve anything after I've done so much? Man, we just got to forget. Do what you said, beautifully illustrated. Identify it, put it into the light of God, let the illuminated light of God shine on it, and no matter what your faith or religion is, God is merciful, God is graceful, and God forgets, and if the individual can do that, they can move progressively forward. For Elvis, the greatest entertainer, arguably, the world has ever known. And that's arguably because there's some great entertainers out
right.
there. but probably one of the most famous, if not the most influential entertainer of the 20th century, had every single thing an individual could have. But Elvis had done a series of things in his life that he couldn't get over. He lived in the dark side. He lived in, I don't deserve it. You know, he had a twin, a real twin brother that died at birth. So he always lived with, why me? He died. I succeeded. I became a king. He became highly successful. Just as he became highly successful, he lost his mother in 1958. My mother and father divorced in 58. My mother married his father in 60. But Elvis lost his mother. He lost his brother. And then he also had some things in his life that he wasn't proud of, like all of us do.
Right.
But he couldn't get past those things. And yet he was always blessed. Imagine living a life of everything you do is blessed. Everything, every song, every movie, silly but successful, corny but gold record. Every concert sold out. Every movie did was charted. Every success was success. He didn't know what failure was, so he had to live in a world of, I can't do anything wrong. I don't deserve the things that I'm getting, he thought, because he never brought forth the problems that you discussed, like you said, as you identify and move on. Elvis never could move on. Prescribed medication became the habit. Use went to abuse. We couldn't stop him. Zero accountability. End result, death at 42 years old. It was horrible walking in his bathroom at 42 when he was 42 years old and I was 22 years old. It was horrible walking in there, rolling him over and discovering the lifeless body of a man who had it all. And it makes me think of the scripture, for what a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul. That's the result of what the dark side can do. And I encourage people just like you to step into the authenticity of their true spiritual self. There's a yearning in each and every person at the sound of my voice for what's next. Why am I here? And I say replace that ambition with meaning, that idea with purpose. Once you discover that and step into that authenticity and do as you teach as a psychotherapist is to, hey, identify it, eliminate it, and move on, then you're walking in the light. Too many of us are walking around wounded soldiers, and we're wounded, and we won't let the world see us. We won't let them see us. We let them see what we want them to see, which goes back to the three selves. The public, sanctified public image is the one I'm talking about now. The dark side that can kill you, whether it be personally or financially or relationship-wise or a number of any other ways. And then there's that, you know, authentic, spiritual, authentic self. And when you step into that, that's when life begins. Elvis didn't do it. I did do it. And many have done it, and many more can do it.
And, you know, that's where the power is. And it's interesting, David, that you should mention this, because just today, me and one of my BFF, that's my best friends forever, we had a long talk. And it was a talk where I could be completely vulnerable about some things that had been going on in my life. And she shared some things with me. And, you know, when you're able to do that, because sometimes people see me, here you are, you got a really famous radio talk show.
Right.
You interview these celebrities. And so for my listeners, I'm just going to tell you that one of my practices that I really have in my life is to have maybe two or three people that I can be completely honest with, completely vulnerable with, so that you can see that I'm just a human instrument that God is using. And if you've listened to me on the radio show, you know that many times I'll come to you and just tell you exactly where I am, exactly where my week has been, because really that is a place of power when you can really have a place of freedom to really share who you are authentically. You're not perfect. You're not spiritual all the time, but you are a human being in the hands of God that you are yielding yourself to and just shaping yourself. So, David, that sounds like that's just like what Elvis was. So just tell me, you know, there's so many stars. Now, all of my listeners, they all want to be successful. How can I bring more money into my life? How can I become a millionaire? And certainly, I have all of those authors on my show. But now there are so many stars who have fame and glory, and they've lost their lives, like Marilyn Monroe and Amy Winehouse. And I was just so disturbed when I saw that. So what would you say to people out there who are looking for fame or fortune, or who might be entrepreneur minded? What would you say to them about fame and spirituality?
Well, I would go back before I go a step further. I honor you for transparency.
Right.
Transparency is the key to authenticity. And the bottom line is what you just said is one of the great, I'm so happy to hear you. I honor you for that, that you have that group that you, quote, let it down and see all of you. You eliminate the public sanctified image, and you reveal, hey, here are some things that I deal with. And as a result, you step into the authenticity of that. Transparency is the key to spiritual authenticity. Now, what I say to individuals who are seeking the world and everything in it is, number one, what's your motivation? Now, see, a lot of people, when we see big stars fall, and I agree, you went through a pretty good list there, and there's many more, but that's a list that we all know. When we see them fall, oftentimes it's because their fame and fortune, the motivation behind it was for all the wrong reasons. You see, the search and seeking for success can sometimes be the drug that destroys you. It's an anesthetic. And what happens is we sometimes, rather than go inward and seek our spiritual self, we use anything to eliminate and to get out of ourselves, and oftentimes it's drugs, alcohol, too much money spending, too much TV, too much this. I mean, it could be a number of things. But for many people, it's that drive to be successful, and that drive to be successful, they feel that's going to eliminate the darkness that I have. That's going to fulfill this emptiness that I have. That's going to put me in a position to where I've accomplished something, and that's the drug they need. And I don't mean a physical drug. I mean the drug of success. And sometimes they go and go and go, and they get, and guess what? They have everything, and guess what? It sustains for a little while. Then guess what? They wake up, and they're in the same place they were when they started.
Right.
Because they've used the success to achieve the success as an anesthetic to eliminate the fear of the dark side of things in their lives. I say, define a quest. Why? Why do you want to be successful? Now, Oprah Winfrey is a great example. I mean, Oprah is probably the most successful person around. I mean, she's kind of tough to beat her, and deservingly so. And the reason is look what Oprah's done. Why does Oprah want to be successful? To give it away. To give it away. To be in a position to influence, to be in a position to perpetuate powerful messages and books, to be in a position to give multi-millions of dollars to charity, to be in a position to give opportunity to individuals who are seeking success with a powerful message of authenticity. All of her messages are driven by authenticity. And like you said, she spends that time in authenticity. She has defined why she wants to be successful. And I think that those in the sound of my voice, I got to have that hit record. I got to have that stage act. I got to have that TV show. I'm going to ask you a question. Why? Now, if that is a God-given talent nurtured by the authentic spirit, then the end result of that will be success and use of that success to give back and to help others. If that's just I mean my greed, once I get there, it's going to solve all my problems. Let's remember what the Bible says. The root of all the money is the root of all evil. Just because you have it. Again, Elvis had everything. These stars that you mentioned had it all. Why do they crash and burn? Because they use the drug of getting successful as an antidote to the dark side, never identifying the spiritual authenticity of who and what they really are. And yet they felt it along the way, but ignored. And the rest is history, as they say. I hope that is a good answer.
Right, and you know, that is so true. And I always say, in life, nothing is as good or as great as you think it is, except for your relationship with God.
Well, that's exactly right.
And people can get fame, you know, that relationship, that money, that beautiful house, that beautiful car. You know, unless you have God, only God is more than what you thought would be once you get it.
Exactly. Well, and the thing is we, you know, I'm sitting in my house. I have a beautiful 8-year-old daughter. I have a beautiful wife. That's what's important to me. And, you know, I've had a lot. I've been on the big jets. I've been on the back lots. I've met them all, seen them all, worked with the biggest rock icon ever, and unfortunately discovered his lifeless body. That did something to me. And my spiritual journey after Elvis's death was very difficult, trying to step out of the shadows of the king and into my own self and answering the question, why do I want to do it? Because I have a God-given gift. My God-given gift is to communicate what I'm communicating with you. I'm a storyteller, I'm an author, I'm a filmmaker, and all of those are designed to communicate the story of authenticity. Now, it took a long time to come out of my life with Elvis. The byproducts and negative ideologies and methodologies of that public personified image was hard to crack, because I had a lot of dark sides, the drug addictions. I've been through marriages. I have failed in so many different areas, yet succeeded in others. And it just wasn't until recently that I embraced the authentic self, understanding that there's a gift inside of me for a purpose. And generally a purpose, generally that gift is driven by giving, communicating, enhancing, motivating, lifting up others. Yes, you can be successful. Yes, you can make a lot of money, and it's nice to have a nice home, a private plane, or whatever you achieve. But at the same time, nothing replaces that relationship with God, family, people around you, that warmth, that peace that you have, knowing that you've stepped into the authenticity of God. Elvis was a highly spiritually evolved individual. Here was the guy that believed in hands-on healing, the Assembly of God, Pentecostal upbringing. God said it, he could do it. Christ did it then, we could do it now. I've seen this man lay hands on people and physically seen him heal. I've seen him make the wind blow. I've seen him make the clouds move. Elvis was so highly spiritually evolved because he had a purpose. And that purpose came through in his performance in gospel music. That's when his stage was the pulpit, his audience was the congregation, and his message and song, gospel music, was the message. That's why he was so successful to communicate those objectives. He knew he had it, the world embraced it and loved it, but yet the dark side of so many things that he felt like he'd done wrong and a lack of zero accountability caught up with him, and it tore between that authenticity and the dark side won, ultimately. People say he died too young. I believe God took him home. I believe Elvis's job was done. I believe 2 days before Elvis died, he looked at me and said, David, I'll see you in a higher place in a different plane, and he was passing the torch to me, that he knew someday that I would grow through things he couldn't and communicate the objectives of that message within the structure of the book, Conversations with a King. That's what I believe. And it's
wow.
An honor to be able to communicate that message. You never know who your angels are.
So true.
You never know who they are. Elvis was my angel. I learned more about not how to live from Elvis than I did to how to live. But I also learned a lot how to live from those years. Elvis was a giver. He cared, he loved, he gave, but unfortunately the dark side caught up with him. I learned not to do that in my life, although it almost did, but I also learned, hey, we all have a gift. We have the gift of healing. We have the words of prophecy, of discernment. We have the ability, like you, look at your audience. Look at the gift that you got with your audience to communicate God's true authenticity through your message every single week, every day you do this. That's why you've got it. And that's what the audience needs to hear from people like you and myself. God, they're successful. They got this great show. Transparency, honesty, integrity, accountability, and honoring that of where it came from.
Wow, that's so powerful. Well, if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with David E. Stanley, and he is the stepbrother of Elvis Presley. He has a new book coming out at the end of this year, Conversations with the King. And David, you've been talking about authenticity. So what are the 5 ways to embody your authentic self?
Well, I got to give it to you. You are a great interviewer. When are you going to have your own TV show? Because you ask the greatest questions. You ask great questions. Authenticity, I don't know if I have let's see how many I got. I may have 3, I may have 5, I may have 6. But the number one way to deal with authenticity is, number one, understand the importance of it. You can fool your friends, you can fool your families, but you can't fool the authentic spirit that lives inside of you. I don't care if you're black, white, freak, geek, gay, lesbian, rock star, preacher, intuitive, Baptist, I don't care who you are, each and every one of us have a spirit of authenticity inside of us. That is that empty void that God describes in all kinds of texts. There's an emptiness inside of us that seeks that of God. Recognize that. That's number one. Recognize that it's there, and the only thing that can quench that is to have a genuine relationship with God in whatever faith. Now, I so happen to be Christ. I believe in Christ, God. I believe as Christ is my Savior. I'm not preaching to everybody. I'm just simply sharing that's the choice I made. In you, you may quench that spirit somewhere else. As long as it's through God the Creator, I think that's the important thing. So number one is to recognize there's a calling in your life. There's a gift in your life is number two. One's the calling. The calling is recognizing that there's an emptiness. Two is the gift that he wants to impart in your life, whether it be speaker, singer, writer, teacher, fireman, policeman, rock star, movie star, radio personality, or a nurse, a doctor, a trash collector, whatever it may be, recognize it. Recognize it, and once you recognize it, embrace it. So now we got two. One, there's an empty calling. Two, there's a gift given to you. If there's sin in the world, and I believe there is, that's to have a gift from God and not utilize it and expound on it. Three, once you've known you've got the void, fill it with God. Two, recognize the gifts that's given you. Three, start, you know, nurturing that gift and step out of that darkness. Because you know as well as I do, once you recognize your gift and once you get a relationship with God, suddenly the demons start knocking. You ever notice when you get real excited about hear that knocking?
Right.
Somebody's knocking on your door. You ever? There's going to be people listening to me and you today. They're going to hang this phone up so excited. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I believe I'm going to step into the authenticity of the great self. And they're going to go to sleep at night excited. And suddenly in the still night of the darkness of the night, they'll hear that knock. And that knock is called fear. And that knock is called you can't. That knock is there's no self-esteem. There's that knock of self-realization that you can, that self-sabotage because you feel like you've blown it. Those are the demons of whatever hell they came from knocking on your head from the dark side saying, stop, stop, stop. And the only way you can get out is to ignore. So number four, ignore. Like you said, they come in, we identify, and they move on. Move on. Forgive, forget, and move on. And then I don't know how someone may say, learn how. I don't know how to write a book. Learn how to write a book. I don't know how to speak. Learn how to speak. I don't know how to this, that, or the other. Well, you've got a teachable spirit, which, my friend, is number five. The number one thing, well, number one is identifying. Number two is receiving. Number three would have to be the teachable spirit. Let that spirit teach you and let the things around you, the angels of teachers, of mentors, of influential people who can help you, let that teachable spirit that you have shine. Kill the ego and echo the greatness of the authentic self is what I say. So what, we got about four or five of them now. And then, you know, let's go into like five or six. Embrace the authenticity. You know it's there. How many of you are listening to my voice knowing you have greatness? About 99% of you said me.
Right.
How many of you are frustrated because you can't get to it? That's what's wrong with you. You're mad all the time. You're angry. Some of the dark side is developed by the fact that you can't get to it. And all you got to do is go to it instead of complaining about not getting to it. And that angel will show up through that teachable spirit, open up, and let that angel move. Hey, you may be listening to two angels today. You and me, the two people on this radio. You may be hearing two angels. You were an angel in my life already talking about your practice. Well, they come to me and I identify and I tell them to move on. Wow. How simple is that? And you know what? It doesn't have to be complex. That's true. Just move on.
Right.
Understand. Go ahead.
You're so right about that when you're talking about a teachable spirit and that God will send angels. And angels are really just messengers to share knowledge, wisdom, and insight. And if you're open to the show tonight, or if you're open to people that God has, you know, strategically placed in your life,
exactly.
I'd say that if you can I coach people on all seven continents, and I tell people coaching and getting counseling is one of the best investments, and getting a mentor is one of the best things you could do for yourself.
Absolutely. Get a coach. Because, you know, a lot of the times a coach will just help you get into what you already know. It's like a football player. That quarterback goes out on that football field. He's got talent. Oh, my goodness. If he's a Brett Favre or whoever, Peyton Manning, or pick your favorite quarterback, he's got talent. But you know what that coach does? Brings that talent out even more so. Kind of carves it up a little bit, kind of nurtures it, kind of advises this, that, or the other. They're already, everybody hearing us are already professionals. Having a coach like you just brings it out. Helps you fine-tune it. And it also gives, wow, I'm about to say it, accountability.
Yes.
It's accountability. Everyone knows how to get to where they want to go. The number one thing stopping is the self-sabotage. And the self-sabotage comes from, I don't deserve it. Why me? If you knew my life, David, if you know what I've done or said or what happened in my life or my divorce or my abuse or my this are there 10,000 other things you can tell me, which are all things to be considered, and we all have, you know, compassion for you, or passion for you, compassion to, gosh, you got to get over it, but you got to get over it. The thing to remember is God knows it, God forgave it, God forgot it, God can change it. The authentic self can do anything if you ask it through the teachable spirit, and just embrace it and step into it. See, we all know we're great. It's the key is stepping into the greatness. You know, this is going to sound a little bit ami-mash, but at the risk of sounding that way, if I can teach somebody, I'm going to. I'm a great speaker. I know I'm a great speaker. God gave me the gift of being a great speaker, but until I stepped into that platform and embraced the fact that I was a great speaker, I was nothing but a great speaker. Now I'm a great speaker with a message that people hear that changes life, because I step into the authenticity of being a great speaker. You're a great coach. You're a phenomenal coach. Step into being that coach. Embrace being that coach. Now you're saying, David, that's conceited. No, that's not conceited. That's giving God glory for a gift.
Right.
And utilizing that gift. Well, people who say that they're good at something, that bothers me. That's probably because you're not good at anything.
Well,
that's
talked about the whole unworthy piece, and that's so big. I say that that's the underlying factor
number one.
Decisions and in poor choices.
Mm-hmm.
I know in my own life for years, it was sense of unworthiness. So what would you say to people who are listening who may say, you know, I really feel unworthy. So did Elvis feel unworthy to be as successful as he was?
Yeah, there you go again with another one of those great questions. That's what happened to him. That's why he died. He felt unworthy. He could never step into the authenticity of the greatness that he had. He kept asking the question, why me, why me, why me, instead of saying, yes me, yes me, yes me, thank you. He quit asking why. It's not important for you to know why all the time. As long as God knows, that's all that matters. As long as there's results and you're honoring him, that's all that matters. I mean, listen how difficult it is. How hard is it to set in self-sabotage and embrace the fact that you're unworthy? That's pretty hard. That's as hard as it is to be successful. But you spend so much time living in that world of unworthiness, why not shift that to, let me try putting all that energy into, I am worthy, and see what happens. You've got to forgive yourself. You've got to. You've got to. Even God himself looks at you and says, what sin? He separates it from the east to the west. What have you done? Nothing is too big. Nothing has been done that's too big for him to not look at, illuminate his light, and forgive and forget. Now, that you know what bothers people is too simple. I think what's happened in faith today, whether it be an intuitive or a Southern Baptist or an Assembly of God or a Methodist or a Jew or a Buddha or whatever, is everybody's made it so complex. What did God say in any religion? What does any of them say? You will come to me as a child or you won't come at all. Can't you just go back to the childlike faith when you first stood up and started walking? You knew he was going to fall down, but you got up again and kept walking. Now you can run. Can't you just do that? And some of your words, easier. Hey, you're talking to a guy who overdosed on drugs twice, needles in his arms, coke up his nose, bottles down his throat, drinking like a crazy man. A guy that was self-destructive, a guy that shouldn't even be sitting here talking to you. I could sit here and do a pity party all day long. I could match you one-on-one about abuse and drugs and death and on and on and on. We could go all day long. David, how'd you do it? I stepped into the authenticity of David Stanley. I knew that God had a plan for me. There's a message for me. I embraced it. It changed my life. And I don't ever, never, ever look back, and yes, I use the story to illustrate, I did it, you can do it. Been there, done that, survived it, and I'm there now, I've overcome it.
Well, about how Elvis inspired your loyalty, and I wanted to ask you about loyalty, because honor is just so, people don't honor relationships. I'm really big on honoring relationships, and honor just seems to have eluded us in our society. So talk about loyalty and why is that really an important principle in success and in your life personally?
I think loyalty begins with loyalty to yourself to be authentic. Tell the truth faster. I think loyalty to your family, your wife, your children, your friends, loyalty. And the reason we're losing that honor system of loyalty is we live in an I, me, mine, quick fix, band-aid society.
Right.
We want results instantly. We want a burger, we want it now. We want relief, we want it now. We want to be successful, we wanted it yesterday. You know, that's because, and we live in this society of entitlement. Because I've been through so much, I deserve. See, the opposite side of unworthiness is entitlement. Well, you know, when I was a kid, I this, that, and the other, gimme, 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 and I need it because if you knew what I went through, I deserve it. Deserving it from that perspective is the wrong way. All of us deserve success. I think loyalty is a situation to where individuals, like we beautifully illustrated earlier in this communication, was transparency. To sit down and say, I've got something, can you help me with it? What does that do? That builds trust. My God, what has happened to trust? Why is things spinning out of control? Because it's a lack of trust. We don't trust our government anymore. So it's harder to trust religious leaders. The only thing you can trust nowadays really is yourself and those angels that are sent to you in communications of transparency and communication of love and understanding of each other and opening up and building a bond of trust and honoring that trust and honoring each other. Hey, step out of yourself, lift somebody else up instead, and I guarantee you success will start running at you.
So, David, you know, when you were in your really deep, dark place, how did you come out of that for my listeners? Did you start praying? Did you have an awakening moment? Did you see an angel? I mean, or did you just get sick and tired of being sick and tired? How did you come out of that dark place?
We'll start with sick and tired.
Okay, that's a great place. Maybe some of my listeners are sick and tired of being on the same job, sick and tired of fear holding you back. Tell me, what did you do, David, personally to come up out of that place?
Well, first I embraced my faith. Like I said, I'm a man that I trust God, I trust Christ. I embraced my faith. But I'm going to tell you, the two things I did at once, I was tired of what my life was like. But two, like many in the sound of my voice, I was driven by the fact that God put me here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what's that mean? I was driven by the fact that God gave me a gift and a purpose. Wow, what's that mean? Once I started trying to do everything on my own and failed and crashed and burned and got sick and tired of it, I said, I think I'll try what God maybe has got in store for me. In other words, I'll embrace my faith, ask my source to reveal to me what he is trying to tell me. Now, I started off strong. I was an evangelist back in the 80s and in the 90s speaking in colleges and churches all over the world. But yet, I kept crashing and burning and falling backwards. I became a predator in the pulpit. You know, I was preaching one thing and doing another, and I was still living the rock and roll lifestyle out there and teaching not to. That's because I was doing a head knowledge instead of a heart knowledge.
Right.
So, yes, I was sick and tired of it, and then I got a cool job, and my heart was genuine, and I cared and wanted to give back. But yet there were some things that I still didn't deal with in the self-sabotage area or the self-destructiveness of my life that I was brought up in. And then I just started embracing, wait a minute. Go inward to the God inside. Be still and know that I am God. We are made in the image of God. All of us. All of us is God. God is you. God is me. God is black. God is freak, geek. God is white. God is whatever. God is all of us. And when you identify with that God in you that he wants you to personally meet and you start nurturing the God within, then you're in tune with the God of creation. And that's when authenticity begins. To me, that saying that someone said, I don't know who it was, doing the same thing, getting the same results. I mean, you know, people are looking at me going, I'm sick of my life, I'm sick of my life. Well, look at what you're doing, and if you're getting the same results, then something's got to change. Or are you going to keep on being sick of your life, and you're going to get the same results? That's the I'm tired of this thing. Now, take that I'm tired of the same results that I'm getting and say, God, what can I change? When you pray at night, you know, when you say, dear God, this, that, and the other, try this. God, reveal yourself in me.
I like that.
Yeah, God, you're already in me. I be still and know that I'm God. Don't put God over there on a shelf. Don't put God over in an institution somewhere you can go there and worship him. But put God where God already is. God, reveal. Here's what I started praying about a year and a half, 2 years ago. God, I don't know. I don't understand the Bible all the time. God, I don't understand you. I don't know what's up. I've heard this. I've seen that. I've read that. I've tried this. God, I'm going to try this one. I'm just going to be totally ignorant here. And that little boy that didn't know how to walk one day when he took his first step is going to go, God, I'm going to be still and know that you are God. Reveal yourself to me. My life changed. Everything changed.
Wow.
Every single thing changed instantly. And it's been changing ever since. The sky opened up. The manifestation of things coming toward me. The law of attraction. All these things we read about in these books. From the Bible to The Secret. It all started coming true. It started happening. Because I recognize I am talking to God, you're talking to God, and the God in all of us is listening to our conversation. Embrace that. Start there. Watch your life change.
Wow, that's so powerful, David. And, man, I can't believe that our time has already gone. You have so much information to share.
We'll have to do it again sometime.
I know it. And your gift is definitely speaking. You are a great orator, and you're so passionate, and it really emanates.
Great. Thank you so much.
For the world tonight, David. And so share with our listeners about your new book coming out in December, I think is the release date. How can they get your new book, and what is the website for that?
Okay. The book is called Conversations with the King, Journals of a Young Apprentice, as we discussed. Much of what we discussed, my relationship with Elvis, my spiritual journey, and the lessons learned are in the book. Also, each chapter ends with questions to ponder and lessons for you. So it's kind of a book of entertainment meeting self-help, which is kind of cool. And Conversations with the King, Journals of a Young Apprentice is available for pre-order right now at davidestanley.com or conversationswiththeking.com. The pre-order ships out December the 15th, and then the bookshelves, the book officially launches January 1st, first week in January, but bookstores throughout the United States. For more information, davidestanley.com, conversationswiththeking.com. Either one of those will take you to my site. And obviously from that site, follow me on Twitter, look at our Facebook, read about the book, pre-order it, and get all the updates on this forthcoming book. We're excited about it. Thank you for allowing me to come into your home, being a part of this interview. It's been wonderful, and I got to come back and do this again.
Right. And I'm going to strongly encourage all of you. I just feel led of the Spirit. I mean, most of you know I'm a spiritual woman, to really go out and purchase this book, pre-order the book, because I think that God is using this man. I know that God is really using this man to share with you life principles that you can begin to implement in your life and change your life. I believe that for many of you, the information that's in this new book will be what? The missing piece of the puzzle for your life. So go to his website and purchase the book, and then just pray and ask the Spirit of God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and begin to implement the principles involved. And David, it has been such an honor to have you on my show. You are such a powerful man of God, and God is using you to really touch people from a really powerful place and a powerful position.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a privilege being with you, and I look forward to speaking to you again sometime. And blessings to everyone, and good night.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining me once again. This is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest show, saying to you that the rest of your years will be the best of your years. God bless you. And guess what? This week, expect a miracle.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.